This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, lots happening in and around the Washington, D.C. area these days. Of course, our nation's capital is all part of our Spotlight segment. No better person to talk to than the great Henry Sheinkopf, Sheinkopf Communications, political consultant extraordinaire. The likes back in the day of the Bill Clinton and Michael Bloomberg campaigns for various offices. Always great to speak to Henry. Hank, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Always great to have you here, especially on a Columbus Day. So, in essence, we've got a lot happening. And the latest of spats is the senator from Tennessee, Bob Corker, and the president going back and forth here. The senator, of course, part of the Donald Trump party, being a Republican. Interesting back and forth, Mr. Sheinkopf.
Not a good thing for America. Bob Corker is an expert on foreign affairs. He would have been a foreign relations. He would have been a good choice for Secretary of State. And when a senior senator who's the chairman of a very important committee says these kinds of things about a president of the United States, the rest of the world listens and says, wait a second. Something must be out of control here. Not good.
Not good.
And reflective, by the way, of problems in the Republican Party. You know, this idea that one party or the other is in serious trouble is nonsense. They're both in trouble, and they have been for quite some time. And here's an example of a key figure in the southern state, standing up and going after the Republican president of the United States. There's no real sanction for it and for doing such behavior, and it shows that the construct of the Republican Party is starting to shift and fall apart, the same with the Democrats have.
I mean, have you ever seen in your day, and you've been around this a lot longer than I have, I mean, have you ever seen the back and forth, the tweeting and everything else that goes on? I mean, in a time of turmoil to begin with, in so many areas where we need unity, and you see this back and forth, third grade stuff, it is unbelievable to me, Hank.
It is demeaning to the office of the president. It is demeaning to the United States Senate. It is demeaning to the chair, to the chair's position of the Foreign Relations Committee. It shows that we have reached that our discourse has reached a real low point. And by the way, it's reflective of how we conduct our campaigns and how we do our politics.
No.
Part of this is a function of social media, I think, where anything can be said at any time without any responsibility, which I talked about, you know, a long, long time ago. You know, there's no requirement that you identify yourself where the ads are done, by whom, on social media. They're not under the same strictures. So the discourse has declined. The respect for office has declined, and the permanent revolution in American politics has begun, which is pending for quite some time. The character assassination and a complete lack of concern for what public perception might be of behavior is taken over. That's not good news.
No.
It's not good news.
It is not, and you got a flare-up here between two leaders, long simmering differences, we know, between the GOP leaders and the president, who has not shied away from attacking leadership over the inability, A, to move health care legislation, and B, you have tax reform looming large here, so you got two big areas, and thus the bickering.
Well, because Trump's not he's not a Republican. I mean, that's what people don't seem to comprehend. They keep talking about this as well, the Republicans control all the branches of government. Well, that's not true. Trump is a Trump. We've never seen anything like this, or at least in our lifetimes. The Senate is what it always has been, a very, very well, very self-respecting club filled with people of both sides of the aisle who don't call each other out in public or behave in an inappropriate fashion. And the House, which seems to be an automatic pilot. So what you really have is three or four political parties functioning at the same time. The Trump party, the Republican Senate party, the Republican House party, and the Supreme Court party, which is a whole
which, by the way,
nothing seems to be getting done.
It's an excellent point. We can't forget that we have a businessman turned president with really no known affiliation to party going back to the day. Thus, a lot of people somewhat surprised, but again, you make a great point as far as party representation here.
If we're looking to the parties for guidance at this point in our history, we're going to be very disappointed. Both of them, again, are in serious trouble, and the coalitions that created them are falling apart. I mean, consider this. The Democrats were, in modern times, by modern times, let's say, Franklin Roosevelt going forward, were a function of blue-collar people seeking redress from an economic system that failed them in the Depression, and forcing that economic system to respond for an extraordinarily long period of time. It worked very well. Now the whole thing's reversed. The Democrats seem to appear to be the party of the elites. The Republicans appear to be the party of angry working people who know the economy, who are not fooled anymore, and they know the economy is shifting dramatically, and that it is quite likely we could see, if Atlantic Monthly is correct, Atlantic Magazine is correct, we could see an unemployment rate as high as 20% or so in the next 10 years, permanent, because of technology. People understand these things. You have a president in a world that is changing who seems to be adrift, and a Senate whose culture remains the same. Corker's just responding to attacks on the Senate culture, frankly. And the House that just doesn't have any, there's no there. None of this is working. And what will the American public get? Well, the permanent revolution that produces no outcome. So that explains very well why you have a Bannon, who can function so well, topple the president's choice for U.S. Senate in Alabama, and help put a fellow named Grimm, who went to prison was a congressman who went to prison, into a campaign that he might, in fact, win. It's extraordinary. You don't see these things very often.
No. Henry, I said this the other day to Congressman Peter King. I think the toughest job as far as Washington is concerned right now, it has to be John Kelly, chief of staff of that White House, you know, to try and keep everybody together. You know, you have the Steve Mnuchin incident, the Tom Price incident, and now you got Rex Tillerson, who could be veering away. I mean, you know, the tensions obviously existing between the Secretary of State and the president. You know, I just wonder, if you didn't have a John Kelly president, what would happen as far as the internal structure of that White House?
Well, first, let's go back. And Peter King is one of the better people we have in government, regardless of party, a person who has principle, and who loves this extraordinary country greatly and served it well. With respect to the present set of circumstances, you know, you've had situations where the president hasn't functioned. I mean, through illness or through other problems. I mean, and the government's been run by who knows who, so that's not a new phenomenon. What is a new phenomenon here is a president who is not competent in particular areas, who seeks no advice from others who are, and a military man running his chief of staff, which is not new, but his job is, in fact, not to help run the president's government, but, in fact, to act as almost a deterrent to chaos and an enforcer of order, both of which he seems to be incapable of doing. Not because he doesn't have the capacity. He's a great general and someone who served this country with distinction and who gave, frankly, you know, gave an awful lot. He's failing because the president won't let him do any of that. And that is a different set of issues.
We are talking with Hank Shinecoff. A couple of minutes left. Shinecoff Communications. Obviously, with all the unrest and everything else there's plenty of unrest these days. With all the storms present, Puerto Rico right now, complete devastation, containers of food, water, and everything else certainly there. How to distribute, that's a whole another area. This president's been criticized for not really stepping up after Irma and Harvey, those storms. In essence, Hank, twofold here, enough money to kind of cover everything as far as FEMA is concerned. What more could this president have done as far as the devastation and everything else is concerned there?
You know, the extraordinary thing about being a president is that what you say and how you behave are often more important than what you do. We've had previous disasters of natural cause in the history. Certainly, the great picture of Lyndon Johnson going to New Orleans, I think it was Louisiana, after a natural disaster, showing up and saying, putting a flashlight to his face where there was no power, and saying, "I am your president. I'm here to help." That kind of conciliatory gesture, it goes a lot longer, whether you have the money or not, or the ability to deliver goods and services or not, than throwing paper towels, rolls of paper towels to people in a crowd as if they were, you know, animals asking for, you know, squirrels asking for nuts to be thrown at them. It is all how you manage the office and how you are portrayed in the office by your own actions in most cases that determines a lot of how presidents function or don't. And President Trump is very different than anything we've ever seen before. And he is... he's not doing what we think presidents ought to do, And he will always maintain that 32 to 38% base of support. And his path to victory may be a third party, the Trump party, because you have this great instability among the political parties. But any victory or any continuation won't be based on how he responds to crises. It's more about him and less about those impacted. And he does not yet understand the majesty of the office of president and how every little action is seen and examined with 1,000 microscopes by everyone all over the world. That is his failing, if there is one.
A little bit of a lull in the action right now between Kim Jong-un as far as, you know, the rhetoric back and forth, although plenty of cryptic messages, Hank, last week with the president. But in essence, you know, we have reports there could be another test of a missile this week as far as North Korea is concerned. What do you expect to come out of all this?
Yeah, I'm not an expert in foreign policy, but I do understand something about power. And I also understand a very basic rule of the street. When someone has a gun pointed to your head, don't use the F word and curse them, because they may put the gun, they may squeeze the trigger and send you into another planet. The president's bombastic comments have probably hurt and helped at the same time. We don't know what is going on behind the scenes in diplomacy. We can only hope that the Chinese are kind of saying, you know, scream and yell Kim Jong-un, but when it comes down to it, we're not going to let you blow up the world. The dangers here are quite significant. It is the most militarized place in the world, Korean Peninsula, and one false move here, nuclear weapons go off, it's the end of it all. I mean, I don't think people really comprehend how serious this is and why the Chinese and Russians are so important. You have to assume that the president is behind the scenes with appropriate emissaries trying to cool this down. But look for Kim Jong-un to continue every once in a while like a spoiled brat, screaming and yelling and
playing with his toys.
This guy.
Pretty much playing with his missiles and everything else like a PlayStation 3 pretty much. He's going to continue to do that type of stuff.
Sure, when you have toys, you can use them. And when you have a president who wants to engage you in that kind of rhetoric, you're going to use more. Why? You got to prove you're in charge. That's what he's doing. And this is a real test of the United States' ability, not necessarily to deal with Kim Jong-un, but to deal with the realities of a real China. That's not some kind of figment of our imaginations, and a shift, an attempt to push the United States out of the Far East as a power center. That's very serious for us.
And lastly, Hank, I'll hit you with this. With the vice president attending the Indianapolis Colts game yesterday and players kneeling during the anthem, talking about on the San Francisco 49ers. By the way, they lost in overtime, thank goodness, and 0-5 to start the year. It's no surprise that the VP left the building right after the anthem. You know, I've always said this whole thing can be squelched. Just have these owners step up and state the fact. Listen, if you disrespect the flag, you're off the team, or you're going to sit out, you're going to be docked, whatever. You're the boss. You have the rules. The rules are that these players work for you. Jerry Jones has already come out and said, you know what? You disrespect the flag, you're out of here. Owners around the league should do this type of stuff. You know, a lot of people talk to the president for his back and forth, but I think he was spot on here myself. And, you know, there comes to a point where owners of teams, professional sports teams, have to do the right thing here, Hank.
I happen to agree with you. I think it is an outrage that this extraordinary country in any way would be disrespected in this kind of fashion. Sports have also represented the land of the free and the home of the brave for a long time. They're the one Americans that tend to create symbols around sporting events. I think there's a larger issue, though. In the battle for resource allocation, I'm talking about personal resource, money, education, these guys on that field are making an awful lot of money by any measure. Do you think that some of them would, instead of getting and kneeling and disrespecting the American flag, that they could put some money into foundations or some other events? And I'm sure some do, some other kind of entities that would, in fact, fund reading programs in inner-city neighborhoods or help get younger people into colleges and get them educated so that they can compete rather than engaging in what is effectively self-attention drawing behavior that creates controversy but doesn't solve the problems we need solved very quickly.
Hank Shankoff, ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure to get the shine reflection on many a viewpoint, and there are plenty out there. Hank, always, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for having me on. All the best. Have a great day.
You got it. Hank Shankoff on a Columbus Day.